but it will be in the 14th chapter of Luke. In the 26th verse, I guess we'll start. And it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." I began to read on this and study different sections of this as we'll read on, but what I begin to consider is the power of conviction and what it means in my life. And there's a lot of times that we take it lightly and think that, oh, conviction's only for those that are lost, that conviction only serves that purpose to bring people into salvation. But the more that I read on and begin to study into what God is calling me into, I realize that that conviction power, if you'll allow it to, will show you every day of your life things that need to begin to change in you. And when I begin to read this, it's saying, if any man come to me and, you know, hate all these things, if I try to come to God with, in other words, things in me that I'm convicted of but yet won't let go of. So if I'm attached to the world but still trying to come to God, I can't be his disciple. You know, conviction is present in me, but I can't do anything. If I'm not doing anything about that conviction, I definitely can't walk as a disciple. I'm just one that is convicted. There's plenty of times that I want to be his disciple, but then he speaks to me and says, well, you can walk with me if you lay all these things down. And then there's the moment of time when I have to decide what's really important to me. Now you consider the rich young ruler and how in his life he was told that he had to lay down all of his possessions. And I'm sure that at the time that those things that were of worth to him, he didn't want to let go of, just because they were of worth. Now, to him, they were riches. To us, it's many things. Things that we're tied to emotionally, things that we've been through the years, things that we're loyal to, things that we've been with a long time, addictions, or we're convicted that if we don't have something in our life, that we're just not going to make it. And God can deliver us from things if we'll allow him to. But conviction will bring it to your knowledge that it has to change. And when that happens, then that's when you have to come to God with your conviction to say, Lord, you've spoke this to me. God, it's in my spirit that I need to change it. And God, today I want to change it. It's not that he speaks it to me so that I can go on and be like, oh yeah, Lord, maybe I need to work on this later, but I'm going to continue to try to walk as a disciple. That's when we really get in trouble. We cannot continue to try to walk and act like that everything's fine when God clearly lays it out before us the things that need to change. That's when we begin to walk in the ways, I guess, of a transgressor. We begin to transgress when we're knowledgeable of the things that we need to move on from, but yet we make it hard on ourselves when we continue otherwise. And God begins to convict us to help us grow, but it's like we cause a growth spurt in our lives when we refuse. We'll go ahead and read in Psalms 51. We'll read the fourth verse. So that first part we read in Luke, I was thinking about, you know, the look of condemnation. And then Psalms 51:4, I kind of wrote down that the Spirit produces conviction. And so as we read this, in verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. It's easy to know that you've done wrong. Hard part is coming out and confessing your faults to God. It's hard to admit when you've come short and failed. And so many times people will wait so long, years, before they'll come to God with something. And they'll let so much time go by that they were miserable, or they put on more on themselves than they had to before God could have done the work. God was waiting right then when he spoke it to them. When he spoke it and convicted them in that moment in their life right then, things could have been different. But yet we prolong the will of God by refusing that change. The timeline of our life was changed when we refused to do what God would have us to. And when we don't obey the Lord in what he's asking us to, when we don't obey God in just general life, we're prolonging the blessings that we could have in our life also. And when he's convicting us to obey him, we're prolonging things. And it's just like God saying, I'm here for you. I'm here to give you more. I'm here to extend your life. I'm here to add things unto you. And yet we come to a place and we refuse it because we're already so aggravated at this and emotionally affected here that we can't even see ahead of us. We don't even know how far ahead that God's seeing. We don't even know how capable that he is to take care of us. And when he convicts us, we should be able to move right then. Conviction is not something that should be easily put off. It's not something that when he speaks to us that we should say, Lord, not today, maybe next week. That's the classic Christian's adage. Lord, I'll take care of that next service. Or God, I'll work on that this week, or I'll pray about it. But the truth is we put it off. We never discuss it with ourselves because we think we have so much pride. We don't think that we have any faults. We think that we're above all of our mistakes and that we're so perfect that we don't have to admit our faults. But the truth is that we all fail and come short of the glory of God. And when God begins to speak things in us, the best thing that we could do is come to him with our mistakes and with our faults and say, Lord, I know that by your Spirit that you're telling me that I need to change. Lord, I know that by your Spirit you're telling me that something needs to be different. Because when you do that, you're allowing yourself to grow. And when we feel like that it's a loss, and we feel like that it's producing condemnation in us, but that's only according to our flesh. It's only according to the natural eye. It's only according to what people would see in you. Just because it might take you 10 trips to the altar, 10 consecutive services to work out something you're going through, I would rather go 10 consecutive trips to work out something that you're dealing with in your life and be done with it than to wait 10 years, than to prolong something that God's trying to work on you in. Why wait and just allow God to move in it right then? I would rather let God move in it right then when the Spirit's moving. And if a service begins to break out and you feel the anointing, that's the time to allow God to move when the Spirit of God's convicting you. We'll go back to Luke 22. Praise the Lord. And it says in the 31st verse in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. If we don't heed to the conviction power of the Spirit of God, we'll eventually be plucked up because we don't have the strength to hold ourselves by our own power. We cannot do it. I cannot say that enough to where it will stick to people. I wish I could write it on a post-it and put it on you to remind you that, hey, you can't do it. The motivational speakers try to tell people all the time that you can do it, you can do it. We cannot do it on our own. It has to be through God that you're able to do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But eventually, in some form, in some trial in my life, I will come short. Amen. We all do. None of us were built perfect. None of us were built to be able to resist everything. That's why that at some point in our life, we needed God more in something than somebody else did. Right? We needed God to help us in something more than somebody else did there. And that's why that people have testimonies on something here that we don't have there. And that's why everybody can speak on something more in an authority in this area than they can. I can speak on being delivered from drugs because at some point that was my weakness. But God convicted me. Now that I'm conquered from it, I can speak on it in more authority. But I'm only allowed to speak on that now because I was convicted and I came to God.
And now I have the experience of being willing to submit to Him. I didn't do anything but submit to God. It wasn't of my power. As you read in the Word of God, it's not by might, nor by words, not by my strength, not by anything of me, but just coming to Him and surrendering. The only thing that I realized in the moment was, hey, God's speaking to me and telling me that my life needs to change, that this wreck that I'm trying to drive around in and live my life in can't stay this way. And if you're living a miserable life and you feel like that everything's in shambles, it's time to change. It's time to seek God and let Him speak to you, to say, what is it in me that needs to begin to be different? And if we're not seeking God, it's like you're walking around with blinders on. And if we're, and people are preaching every single day without seeking the Spirit of God. And that's made reference to the blind leading the blind. We can't be in a place where we're seeking out our flesh, trying to understand this. It's got to be led by the Spirit of God. Only way, you read in John 15:20, if they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. We're not going to get through this without feeling bad sometimes, or feeling low, feeling beat down, feeling depressed. And in other words, we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to listen for the conviction. We're going to have to listen for God's voice to say, you're weak in this area. You're weak here. You need to improve. You need to come to me and give me these things. Or in other words, the weights that would easily beset you. Those things that would be heavier to you than they would be somebody else. Because, you know, it used to be hard for me to not eat as much or eat so much. I had a hard time controlling my diet, but I'm better about it now. But there's some people that have a hard time with that. So that is a weight to them, right? So for them, that would be something they would bring to God to lay as a weight, because it's heavy upon their life. Drugs in my life used to be a heavy weight to me, but I came and casted those weights to God because God convicted me, showed me that I could bring those to Him. Understand where I'm coming from? If we allow God's Spirit to speak to us, it produces something in us to show us. Don't tell me that it don't show you if you don't try it. God can speak to you if you allow Him to. The thing is that we don't want to listen to what He has to say. Hallelujah. And if you read, I won't make you go back, but if in Psalms 51, if you read back in verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When we come to Him, that's the only thing that we can accept in ourselves that we'll be able to move forward. I can't have anything else. I can't try to serve God with an unclean heart. I can't serve God with my addictions and my afflictions and all the conditions in me that would hinder me from being able to be a true servant. I have to be able to do everything that God has required me to do with true love, and the only love that could be given of God. It should produce confidence in you. I should not see doom and gloom in your eyes. There should be a power in your eyes. There should be a boldness within you. The only way that we have confidence in this day and age is through and by God. There should be something in you that rises up because God has spoken to you enough and showed you enough things that you've given to Him, that you're able to walk in confidence to say, I've given Him all my faults, and I know that the way He's leading me is a way to victory. Praise the Lord. That is the only way that we can succeed. That is the only way that we can add years into our life. That's the only way that I can be prosperous and in sound mind. That's the only way that I can obtain joy and peace. Come on now. That's the only way that I can have happiness in my life. People are unhappy. They're unhappy, and they'll act out of unhappiness. They lead an unhappy life. They just mope in depression every single day. They don't have anything better to do. They sit around and have no joy. They don't do anything to promote happiness. They have an environment around them that doesn't promote anything to be happy for. And God spoke to them a long time ago to try to help them Don't tell me that he didn't speak to them to try to show them otherwise. And it seems like that we'll be in services sometimes and God will speak it, and then we'll decide to take 3 months off because that was just not the right word for me. Uh-oh. Wasn't the right word for me, so I'm just going to stop obeying you, Lord, because I don't think that was of you. We're just going to take some time off. Listen, God doesn't mess up. And when God speaks something, it's certainly what you needed right then. And if it was definitely anointed, I would get a hold of it right then too. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it'll lift you up and exhort you, encourage you. And sometimes it's kind of scary. And we need to be warned. We need to heed to the instruction. And we need to just get in there where God wants us to be. Sometimes he'll give you the boldness to go out and fight the enemy. And sometimes we need to be under the shelter of his wing to remember just how powerful that he is. Amen. But how would we ever know where we need to be unless we allow him to speak to us? I don't know where I'd be unless I listened to God sometimes. I'd be led out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the wilderness. And I'd turn back around, I'd be like, well, where did I start? I'm lost, Lord. I don't know how people ever got to a place where they thought that they could make it in this world without God. And I certainly thought I could, but I failed. We just can't do it. In the book of Acts, 26th chapter, 19th verse. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Then you read in Galatians 1:16, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. These things begin to produce courage in Peter. There's different times in the ministry of Peter when I begin to read about him. It's interesting that in his name, that Simon is Greek, it means hearing. And Peter is an Aramaic term that means rock. And that when you look at Peter, he's one of the only people in the Bible that I can actually feel like that I can relate to in real life, because he was one of the first people to confess that Jesus was the Messiah, and he's one of the only people that you can read about in the Bible that also denied him in the Word of God also. So here, in fact, it's one of the only people you can read about that actually seemed human, right? So that reminds me that they were human, and reminds me that, hey, that even though that he went through the denials, that he came out of that. That it wasn't just a failure. And you read in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And then in John 19 and 21, come and follow me. You think about how God looks upon us sometimes. There's a point when he speaks, and then there's a point when he's commanding us to move. When it's time to repent, that's the time to move. And we need to remember to encourage people to put repentance in their everyday life. Repentance shouldn't be something people wait on. There's sometimes people wait months upon months upon months and let it pile up like their garbage piles before they go take it to the dump. That's the principle of obedience. That's the principle of repentance. That's the principle of moving out on faith. That's the principle of everything that's based upon all that we do for God today. That if you listen, you can be the best listener in the world. But that's half of it. What good would it do for somebody to receive a word from God if they never brought forth what it was that God was speaking to them? What good would it do for a prophet to receive the interpretation of something that God gave them unless they went and gave it to that person? It's a dangerous thing to me to receive something from God and then to hold it within me, because it doesn't do me any good to hold it within me. It doesn't profit me anything to hold the word for the church within me. Doesn't help me at all, because that word is not just for me. It's for the church. It's for what God was trying to deliver for the church. And if I don't deliver it to the church, I'm not only hurting me, I'm hurting the church. And I have to answer for myself and the church. And as you read and apply it to yourself, that the blood will be on my hands from the moment when I didn't obey the Lord for the church. And there's people that, man, they have such anointed gift of song. And they just continually, I'm not going to. God speaks to people and will convict their heart to just open up their mouth and sing a song. Because why would he give you the ability if he did not want you to use it? Why?
But this last part that we'll read is, I guess, where all this is kind of derived from in Luke 22 and verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." That's the first. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." Second, and about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Three, and immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crew, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The whole premise of what I wanted to bring today was that he had already spoke to Peter before this was going to happen. And then it came to pass, and all that he could do after it happened was just to go and to weep. And there's so many times that God will speak to us and try to save us from present danger, save us from present trouble, tries to keep us from making so many mistakes. And we will literally deny him, push him out of the way, refuse him. In fact, sometimes we'll be bold enough, which is scary, to speak against him and move on. Some people will. "Well, I don't know this Jesus, and in fact, he's not helped me in a long time," and go on with our life, and then expect that all the blessings in the world are going to be ahead of us, wrapped up in pretty bows, and think that life's going to be grand. But when the Spirit begins to speak, all that I've learned so far in my life is that if I don't heed to that, I know that trouble soon coming after me, because the strength of myself will not carry me. And that Satan is going to come by to try to sift me up from where I'm rooted. Because the more that you listen to God, the more that you allow yourself to be deeply rooted in him, you're able to stand the trials of life. You know, people always say you're up and you're down, you're up and you're down. Listen, there's a point in time in your life where you're able to get rooted in God and not be pulled up by every single thing that comes by. It's not impossible to get in godly living and stay there. It's just when people are get in such a weak state that God begins to work with them, and they refuse to work, and they get sifted up every single time they try to get in the ground. It's not getting planted and rooted deep enough. Not deeply established in what God's trying to work with you in. And I know that those first few steps for people are hard, but they're only hard because they're not getting the help they need. And to me, if I could say that to all the church, we've got to get people more deeply established by helping them, teaching them, leading them, showing them that it's a way that's a pleasurable way,
that it's a fine way, that it's a way that leads to happiness, that I'm not miserable in my walk with God, that it's something that I enjoy. If they always see me miserable, why would they want to get their feet out a little bit deeper in it? If they see me miserable, they might want to pull back and get away from that. I want to go out somewhere where there's joy. You know where there's joy? They can go out to a ball game and have a good time. Go get a couple beers at a ball game and have a good time. Come on now. They can go out and have fun elsewhere. Let's go out on the lake this weekend and let's go ahead and just skip church. That's more fun. You can go ahead and just put off the Spirit of God altogether by just doing enough flesh stuff. It's easy to go ahead and do that, but not choose to listen. I want people to see something in me that would draw them. But I can only draw people with my witness if the Spirit of God's living in me. The only way that it's continually living in my life is if God speaks and I move. God speaks and I move to it. God speaks and I move to it. It's a continual flow. If I stop that up, think about it. If there's something stopped up in your pipes, you can't use that water anymore. There's a stop in the flow. You got to call somebody to come and move whatever's stuck in there out of the way. If there's something hindering the flow of the Spirit of God in your life, you can't move on or continue until it goes. It's simple as that. And you know exactly the day that it happens. You know when it happens. You go to turn your water on, you're like, I can't use this anymore. You know that you can't do what you used to do when God speaks to you there, but yet we'll try it anyway. We'll try to pray the Spirit down. We'll try to lay hands. We'll try to do everything, and we cannot do that. God sees, He knows. People might not know, but God knows. And it's so silly. It's just like night and day. And that I believe that's why the gift of discernment was given, so that people would be able to know the difference, to be able to tell by the Spirit what is and what is not of. When God begins to speak and by His Spirit instructing us, we just have to move to that. Because when you do, there's life in that. And by life, I mean that you're able to grow. You'll be able to say, okay, Lord, I've conquered this. I'm ready to move closer to You. Help me to do more for You. Because it's not always about you have to change this, and this, and lose this, and this. You'll eventually get to the place where you actually get to do things and get to do good things. And you actually start to get blessings in your life. And it's not always a give and take. You know, people always think that, you know, going deeper in the Spirit of God is always about losing all the things that you enjoy in your life. But it's not the case. It's really not the case. That the only things that we have to lose are those things that hinder us. You know, what I would ask you is, how many things do you have that hinder you? For me, I think there was quite a few. But as God convicted me, it let me know that the conviction power is real. And it's still alive. And it's not just to save. It's to work on us every day. It's to work on us every day. It's to wake me up in the morning and remind me that you better watch what you tell people. You better watch what you say. You better watch your composure. Better watch the way that you act. Because I'm not perfect. It's not always easy to always be in complete and perfect composure. But the Spirit of God will let you know when you're out of line. Come on now. That conviction can come in those moments and show you. You better watch what you're saying. Better watch what you're doing. As we read in the last church service, the Holy Ghost will teach you what you ought to say, if you allow it to. It'll even show you what to put on, how to present yourself. We'll be able to know everything that we should do, but it comes by that coming down to speak to us. And it's so easy to dismiss and so hard to accept, but if we're willing to listen to it when it comes by, you can't go wrong. You simply cannot go wrong. It's a way of life that is much easier than having to listen to all these fleshly opinions about how you should fix everything up and change everything up. People are not going to be able to tell you good enough on what you should do. They're not going to be able to lead you strong enough in how your life should be led. I listened for a long time about how things should be changed for me, and none of it ever worked. I listened to people that I considered my friends and tried to lead me in the right way, but it didn't work. And I've even had people that love me tell me things that was even the very same thing that God tried to tell me. But only until God began to speak to me did it actually convict me. Does that make sense? Only until God spoke it to me did it actually prick my heart and make me realize that, Jared, you really got to work on this. You really have to begin to change. It begins to produce a love in you. Begins to change you for the better. Conviction is not always about how horrible of an individual you are either. It's wanting to, refine you, right? It wants to refine you because you might be a great minister of God, but He wants to make you a superb minister of God. He wants to make you far greater and take you on higher heights and deeper depths than where you are. But we never get there unless we heed to what He's trying to produce in us. It's hard to go forward in God unless we hear that initial speaking. And there's so many times that people are waiting for a great big outpouring and waiting on somebody to preach it down for them. They're waiting on somebody to sing it down for them. They're waiting on somebody to come in and bring a huge 6-week revival and to bring it in that way. And I've found that it doesn't take any of that to begin to allow the anointing to move in your heart. It just simply takes heeding to the Spirit of God that begins to speak to you. And that if one would begin to heed to that and another begins to heed to that, He said where two or three begin to agree, that He'd be in the midst. And that where He is in the midst, that His will can be done now. Where people begin to agree and come in unity together, God's power is multiplied. Not just added to, it's multiplied. It's powerful. The conviction power that comes forth from agreement and unity and love is powerful. People that sit under an anointed service from people that are in unity have to either heed to the power that's there, have to come forward to it, or they have to go out. Because generally, if there's people that's lost in your midst and that they're not affected either way, it should let you know that you're being ineffective, that you're not doing good either way, that your church needs to work on what the problem is, that you're not being fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. People should be able to bear from what you have is love, joy, and peace. If they're not able to get love, joy, and peace from you, then you're not giving off what they need. If they don't feel loved when they leave a church, if they feel just as bad when they leave, then they're not getting what they need. They're not getting help. They're not being drawn by something that's fruitful. So we have to work on those things. This might be another message one day. We'll get on the fruits of the Spirit. But anyway, I'll close up even early because I don't want to tarry on. I feel like I'm finished. But just remember that as God begins to speak to your heart, just to follow that initial speaking of conviction in you. Because it's just, you know, we always say that when we hear God's voice, but that's that, you know, that initial, that prick, that conviction, that God sending down His voice to allow yourself to heed, to listen. And don't let it pass you by. Because those opportunities for you are the ones that we seldom get a hold of because we're either not listening or we refuse to. But if we can get a hold of that and just obey Him immediately, just imagine how far that you'll go in such a quick amount of time if you just heed to all the small things that God speaks to you. Just get rid of that in your life. Just stand up and praise me right now for a few minutes. Just imagine the weight that begins to come off of you. Just imagine the joy that you'll obtain in your life by not letting the enemy come by and sift you up every week, every week, every week, and beginning to root yourself in deeper, saying, God, every time that You speak, I'm going to begin to heed to what You have to say. Lord, every time that Your Spirit comes by, I'm going to begin to get myself in deeper in Your midst. I'm not going to be easily shaken or moved by the enemy and what he would have to tell me. I'm going to be deeply rooted in what You want to speak in my spirit. being established in your heart, having your mind made up before you ever come into God's house makes all the difference in the world. Coming in with a half-made-up mind, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can come in and only serve one of two masters now. And if we don't come in ready to serve God, I'm here to tell you that if we're not adding into the kingdom, we're taking away. They're going out and not being added to, that we're taking away. Nobody wants to preach it like that, but I will. We're taking away. We're not adding unto God's kingdom. We're taking away. They're not being saved. They're not being helped. They're not being changed. Conviction power of God can't be reached down to them if no spiritual flow is taking place. We're clogging up what God's wanting to pour out. We're stopping it up because we're not heeding to what God's speaking to us. We're not wanting to be willing, so we stand still and everybody stands still and God's flow's coming through and it comes into us a wall that we put up to say, Lord, not tonight. I've went through too much this week. God, not today. My life's too hard right now. My relationships at home's too hard right now. Everything I'm dealing with's too hard right now. But God wants us to feel like that we have a little more faith than that. He gave us all a measure, didn't he? He gave us all something to start with. So that you'd have something to move forward with. I should have more faith to be able to believe that though I'm going through things, that I have enough in me to be able to move on the conviction that he would speak in my heart. Something in me to make me go forward. Praise God, I know that the measure was given so that I'd never be empty. Never be empty. Might feel like that I'm empty in my flesh, but that's supposed to happen so that I would realize that I'm in need of God. I might feel empty in me, but I'm going to realize that I need more of Him. Less of me, more of God. I need Him every day. I need Him to pour out into me something greater. I need Him to remind me that by my faith I'm able to go forward. I need Him to teach me by convicting me in myself. I'm not able to do this on my own. I'm not able to walk by my own footsteps. But by God, by what He speaks in me, I'm able to go forward. It's not by all the times that I deny that I'm able to go forward and live and be prosperous. In the times that I deny, it's when we go and weep and we're miserable because we realize where we fail. But God wants us to realize that there's more than that. He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He was talking about the confidence of being deeply rooted and talking about the part of Peter that said that Jesus is the Messiah. He was talking about the part of Peter that was confident in the one in his heart that he was faithful to believe. And I'm confident today that if we believe God, trust in Him and not waver from what's being spoken in our hearts each day, that you'll walk in a deeper walk. You'll wake up in confidence and not be afraid each day, that you won't be sifted up, but you'll have power to move Him on, that you'll have power to draw around your crop and to say that this is my house, this is mine, this wheat is mine, and you're not getting it, and you're not getting this one, and you're not getting that one. I'm pulling them out of the fire, for Jesus is the Messiah. He wanted us to be convicted by what He was speaking so that we would not listen to the enemy, so that we would not fall to the wayside. Don't you understand that on our own that we will surely fail? That it is by God that you're able to make it. By God that you're able to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Upon this rock I will build my church. Speaking highly of Peter, wasn't he? And even though he did all that, denied, still yet, upon this rock I will build my church. Feel like we fail so much, but by His grace, we can still go on. I wouldn't even try to teach, try to do anything. But by His grace, I'm able to go on. By the conviction power of God, it shows me I'm able to change and go on. I'm able to go another day. By the strength that renews in me, I'm able to go on. This flesh dies daily when I put it down. If I never kill the flesh, it never dies. People read that all the time, and I'm like, that's great, but you've got to kill it to make it die daily. It's not going to die on its own. For something to die, you've got to put it down. Death was appointed unto man in this world, yes. But the fleshly death for the spirit man to live has to be done by us. It's not always easy to put down the part of me that wants to be full of pride, that wants to be full of all the things in this world. But if I can remember to let those things go and to let the increase begin to grow in my life, can you imagine the life that I'd have in me? Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Peace that surpasseth. I hope you hear this today. Peace that surpasseth all understanding. All that you would know in your mind. Peace that surpasseth all of those things. All that you would know and all that you would begin to realize in your mind. All that you can see ahead of you. All that you can predict. All that you can plan out. Everything that you could set forth ahead of you, in front of you each day. Passes all that. Surpasses everything that you have laid out. God will take care of you beyond all of that. Upon this rock I will build my church. Praise the Lord. To being fully established in God, based on what? Based on being able to follow what is being spoken unto you. Being convicted by and being moved by the Spirit that would be drawing you each day. And it's not easy to be moved by that. But to me, that is the battle of my day. Not the dealing with people or dealing with things that break or objects or money or circumstances. But if I can remember to heed to the Spirit of God and remember to allow my flesh to die out every day, everything else that comes by in my life is easy street. Without that, I'm not able to conquer those things on my own. I might get through A through H, but then when I comes up, I'm done. I can't do it. I'm not able to handle it. And I have an emotional breakdown. And I end up calling on God desperately, needing Him to save me. And it wasn't intended to be that way. It's not intended for us to be sifted up as wheat. He wants us to be stable, established, solid. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Hallelujah. Just remember to follow the conviction as God would speak it to you today.